will receive. Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
One thing about going verse to verse, you get to hit a lot of topics you not normally would hit on a Sunday morning. And that's kind of fun to do. But this is a pretty easy one. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Verse 7 in chapter 15 of Romans. Receive one another, just as Christ also has received us to the glory of God. Received is proslambano. Proslambano. If you were a Greek person, you'd use that all the time. Proslambano. And it means to welcome somebody, to embrace them as though as somebody or as those that you care about, more than just a casual, hey, how you doing, but a welcome, that you actually care about this person that you're welcoming. So it's an enhanced form of lambano, receiving, and it's going beyond those with whom you are just compatible with, and going beyond those that you share common interests with, such as football, and it's going beyond that and welcoming people, and it's of course all people, one another, inclusive of all of everyone in the congregation, and having a welcome attitude towards them, an embrace. Because you care about them. And so we have, it goes beyond the compatibility, it goes beyond shared interests, because if you only greeted those who you share interests with and whom you're compatible with, then we would have cliques. We would section ourselves off with those people that we're comfortable with, and then the people that we're not so comfortable with, we would avoid. And if when that happens, then you do have cliques in a church. You do have groups, party spirits, and it's not healthy. Receive one another. Receive one another. And there was, that's done without partiality. Christ welcomed us without partiality. When the Lord Jesus Christ received us to himself, he didn't look upon us and say, I don't know about that one. That one's weird. That person's strange, or that one's too talkative, or that one's too quiet, or that one's too stoic, and that one's too. He didn't classify them as people that he was comfortable with or uncomfortable with, or those he would like to buddy around with, and those he wouldn't like to buddy around with. It was welcome one another. He welcomed everybody. Of all that came unto him, he of course cast out no one, it says. He rejected no one. So 1 Timothy 5:21 says that we are to interact with each other without prejudice and doing nothing in partiality. Don't be partial. Don't have partiality between people in the church. Why? Because we are ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors and we represent God's heart. And we represent God's mind towards other people. And we do, our partiality doesn't glorify God if we do that. So we have an obligation to welcome each other, to receive one another, to get to know each other, to care about each other, and not to leave people out because they're not your cup of tea. We do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever we do it all to the glory of God. And because of that, we never want to enter into partiality or any kind of prejudice because of the way people are, their personality types, and so forth. We want to have a corporate love one for another. So coming together is personal like a family. It's not impersonal like a theater. You've been to the theater. You go to the theater, you're in a dark room with 100 other people, 200 other people. You don't know anybody. You don't make eye contact. You don't talk to them. You don't even want to sit near them. You'd make sure you got a seat or two separating you from them, unless they grab your popcorn when you're not looking. But you just go in there, you're there for the presentation, you watch the show, you get up and you leave quick, and nobody interacts with anybody. And that's a theater, and then actually some churches are like that. Then you've probably been to them where they're just like that. You go, you watch the presentation, you're up, you're out, you know nobody, you greet nobody except maybe a casual nod or a quick look, but there's no fellowship, there's no talking, there's no interacting. It's very, very non-personal. And that's the thing that you want to avoid, because we have a family. This is the family of God. God is given us a family to belong to. One of the beautiful things about our family, and the head of our family, Jesus Christ, knows every single one of his lambs by name. And yet we could be in a church of 30 people and half of them don't know the names of the other half. And that's something you don't want to continue. You want to know people. You want to look across the room and say, I don't know that person. I'm going to go find out what their name is and who they are and welcome them here. Because that's family. I assume when we visit our families and have family reunions in the natural that we generally know everybody, or at least try to. But Jesus knew everyone by name. In Romans 16, the next chapter right after this, Paul mentions 35 names of church members in the church of Rome, and he hadn't even been there yet. He mentions 35 plus names of people in Rome, and he hadn't even been there yet. He didn't plant the church, and he hadn't been there yet. He planned to go. And he met a lot of them in Crossing and in different places at conferences and so forth. But he hadn't been there, but he knew 35-plus names there because he's personal. It's family to him. And when he closes the letter, as we'll see shortly, he closes the letter by saying, say hello to this one and don't forget to greet that one and don't forget that one. He's very personal. He's very personal. He's not. It's not a theater presentation to him at all. It's a family. So therefore, receive one another as Christ receives us. And of course, the emphasis here is that the Jews should receive the Gentiles without prejudice, without partiality, and the Gentiles should accept the Jews without prejudice, without partiality. We have a church in Rome here that is a combination of both Jew and Gentile, and they're coming out of years of prejudice prior to their Christianity, prior to getting saved. They both have years and years of hatred and prejudice against each other. And those things go deep. You learn it from your great grandparents to your grandparents to your parents. They instill prejudice in you. So they were fighting that, and that's why a lot of the New Testament brings that subject up, and it makes the emphasis on the fact that the middle wall of partition has been broken down. And so that's an important thing in the church. If you're going to have a church where people are fellowshipping together, both Jew and Gentile, then that there be no prejudice, no separation, no partiality, and that people welcome each other with a genuine care for the other person, and that there's a family atmosphere and not a party spirits going on within there where the Gentile group's over here and there's a Jewish group over there and all of this separation. God never was a proponent for separation. So Jesus Christ, in verse 8 here, "Now this I say, Jesus Christ has become a servant of the circumcision," speaking of the Jewish people, is Israel, "for the truth of God." He became a servant. So Jesus Christ became and was the fulfillment of God's promises and covenant promises to the fathers of Israel. The fathers of Israel was Israel before Christ. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and on it goes through right through David and the kings and so forth. All of the fathers, God had promises to them and had a covenant with them, and Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that. So he became the servant to fulfill those things. But also he came, it says here, to confirm the promises to the Father. But also he came in the next verse, he came to provide salvation on a global scale to the Gentiles, who would also be welcomed into the family. So he came to fulfill the promises he had with the Jewish people, and then he also came to expand the gospel and make it global. And so he sends his disciples into all the world to preach the gospel, preach to every creature, not just to the nation of Israel. When he himself walked the earth, he stayed within the boundaries. He crossed over a couple times, but mostly his ministry was confined to the nation of Israel. But now he's sending his disciples out into the world to win every nation and to bring the gospel to every nation. It has become global. And now the Gentiles would also be welcomed to be part of God's chosen people. And Paul quotes from the Old Testament to prove his case to those Jews living in Rome who may want scriptural verification for this, and it's always good to get it from the book. In verse 9, it says that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So this is Psalm 18 and verse 49. The Gentiles, we have in Psalm 18, verse 49, the Gentiles glorifying God for his mercy. Now, they would do that only because mercy's come to them. Mercy has visited them. "For this reason, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." So here, God, the Gentiles have the reason for glorifying God for the mercy that has come to them, and the Jewish writer here is going to confess the name of God in the midst of these Gentiles, and he's going to even sing with them. He's going to even lend his Hebrew voice to their Gentile voice and sing in the congregation with them. And God's congregation will be made up of both. Verse 10, "And again I say, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." So this is verse 10. This is Moses to the Gentile nations, also in Deuteronomy 32:40.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts. Thank you.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation,